This podcast is sponsored by the Old Calf Cirencester. For table bookings, reservations or further information, telephone 0756 839 6585 or 01285 651 484. This podcast is sponsored by Stoney's Restaurant and Bar in Cirencester. For great food and friendly atmosphere, check out www.stoneys.co. Also, you can telephone them on 01285 642 006.
Ahoy hoy, I'm Pavo.
And I'm Neil.
And welcome to That's No Moon.
It's a podcast.
It's your weekly digest of all the stuff that's happening in the Star Wars universe cinemally.
That sounds like some sort of dessert, doesn't it? I want a cinemally donut, please.
Cinemally.
So it is quite quiet this week. We are still waiting for that Han Solo trailer. We spoke last week that, it might drop this week. Well, it hasn't. It's still not arrived. Nobody seems to know when it's coming or what's happening. But let me say this. There is a rumour going around, just quickly about The Last Jedi, Pav, that the Blu-ray, the 4K Blu-ray release, will be in a steel cover with over 2 hours of extras. An image was leaked this week on Best Buy, but it hasn't been confirmed that that's what it is. It's also rumoured to be having a commentary.
Really?
Yeah, I read today. So I think a commentary would be very good. Very good. Because there's not one on The Force Awakens, is there?
No, if you buy the 3D version.
It's on there.
It's got the commentary. I bought the 3D. I haven't got a 3D telly, but I bought the 3D version. I still haven't listened to the commentary yet.
Right, and is that just JJ, or is it?
I think so. Yeah, I think it is just JJ Abrams.
Yeah, because I do enjoy a good commentary, and on the Star Wars ones, yeah, that's what you need, isn't it? A good commentary.
They have good. That's the one thing about all the Star Wars films that the prequels had fantastic extras.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you can't fault the extras on the.
But you don't get those kind of extras anymore.
No.
They don't do that on movies anymore.
2 hours worth.
But it's going to be 4K as well, isn't it? You said.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to look forward to.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do for this episode, now that The Last Jedi has basically done its run...
Yeah, we're going to draw a line under it. We've talked and talked about it. Not that we're going to forget about it in future episodes
that,
but about the movie releases. Its run is coming to an end, I would say. You know, it's not number one movie. It's dropping down the charts quite quickly, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's also... It's now been completely withdrawn in China.
I know.
So it didn't have a good. But then saying that, apparently Star Wars historically hasn't been a massive hit in China.
Well, I read this because that was obviously news, and they were saying, it's a flop in China. But none of the Star Wars films have done that well in China. And they're saying it's because it's not part of their culture. The original trilogy weren't released in the 70s and 80s like we had them. They didn't get them until the 90s, I think, with those re releases. That's a long old wait. So it's not going to sit with our generation and the Chinese version of our generation, is it? They're not going to have had that. So.
No.
Possibly that might be the answer why, but it was nice to see that it is the biggest the highest grossing film of 2017 now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Officially. It took over from Beauty and the Beast.
But
what I wanted to do is like you say, draw a line under analysing The Last Jedi. Mm. I mean, in the future... We'll do a commentary on The Last Jedi. Which
it is rumoured to be April.
Right, which would be really interesting. But there are a few things that I want to talk about. How many times have you seen it?
Seen it twice.
You've seen it twice. So I've seen it six times altogether now.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say about myself, personally, is that it's not that I get swayed by public opinion, but it's just... I've never had a relationship with a movie like I have with The Last Jedi.
Right.
Everyone can see how I felt about it after the very first time I saw it, which, like I say, in hindsight, maybe was a mistake to do. With a movie like that, where I felt it wasn't indifferent, but I didn't quite know how to compute everything I'd seen.
You were knackered.
Yeah, and I was knackered as well. Yeah,
but then, it always changes your emotion. You know, if I go to the cinema and I'm tired, I have a different opinion of that film quite often than when I see it again the next time. The example for me, I know it's not Star Wars related, but it's Hateful Eight. Do you remember I said to you, oh, it's so long, I didn't like it, it could lose an hour. Still think it could lose some, but I was knackered when I went to see it, and it changed my opinion, and that's probably what happened to you when you went to see The Last Jedi a little bit.
Possibly. I mean, every time I've seen it since then, I've liked it a little bit more.
Right.
Now, there's been a gap between seeing it for the fourth time and then seeing it the fifth and sixth time. In that gap was when a lot of the negative blasts came on YouTube and on social media, and I've watched a few of the things on YouTube and it seems to me that it was that thing that it was I'm going to use a word now, in the zeitgeist, to slam The Last Jedi.
Became popular.
Yeah, and it seemed that every YouTuber wanted to do it because it was almost like it was what had to be done. Now, I'm not saying that The Last Jedi is a perfect film. It's far from a perfect film.
No, it has its faults, but then we've said that about all the Star Wars films. Yeah. It has faults.
Yeah, but there are bits in it that when you hear how people talk about it, you go, yeah, that's quite a good... That's it. And I started not hating the movie, but I started actually feeling quite negative about it. And then things twisted again. When I saw it the fifth time, I sort of kind of fell in love with the movie all over again.
Right. Oh, that's quite strange.
And it was really, really strange for me because I've always, even the prequels, I've loved the prequels because they've got good bits in them. You know, it's almost like the prequels could be one fantastic movie if they took all the good bits out of it and made it into like 1 2.5-hour, 3-hour movie. The Last Jedi, I've never been so sort of up and down, indifferent, loved it, not hated it, but thought to myself, there's bits in it that just, why are they in there? I listened to the Empire...
spoiler.
Last Jedi. Have you listened to
that? No, not yet.
And Rian Johnson, there was a 25-minute interview with Rian Johnson, and they were talking spoilers, and it was very interesting. It was very interesting, and as one of the guys talking afterwards said, I could have listened to that for like 2 hours. I think Rian Johnson could have talked for another couple of hours to Chris Hewitt, all about the stuff that obviously he's had to wait and wait and wait to not talk about, and then all of a sudden it just all came out and he could talk about this and the other. And he mentioned things like he thought about Luke just destroying all the AT-ATs at the end. And he said, and he thought it just felt like it could have been a bit silly. Whereas that's the thing that a lot of people are going, if only he'd done that, or he'd have dragged a Star Destroyer from the sky, or, you know, it's those kind of things that I think I have now resigned myself to the fact of not worrying about what could have been, but loving what is there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's where I am now.
But things like you just said with the AT-ATs, Luke destroying them with his force and doing all that, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because if he'd have done something like that, you could quite possibly and quite rightly so see people saying, man, that's just going to be too much. That's too silly. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the people that complained that The Force Awakens was too much like A New Hope... And now the same people that are probably the same people that are moaning that this Last Jedi movie is too far, like not like a Star Wars film. They can't have it both ways.
No.
And saying that they want it to be a little bit funny, but it's not funny. I don't know. It seems to me that everybody wants their own Star Wars film to be something.
Yeah, it's all about the preconceptions, isn't it? And that's what I think had happened. Looking back on it, is there bits that you still don't like? I mean, after the first time I watched The Last Jedi, I just took it all in and I didn't really complain. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with any of it. And then the second time I watched it and I thought, okay, I do have a problem now with Leia flying back to the ship. They had a perfect opportunity. I know they said they wouldn't, but they had a perfect opportunity, really, to sort of put closure to it. Flying back to the ship almost was a bit weird. I still don't have as much a problem as everybody else with the casino bit, all in that adventure with Finn and Rose. Am I missing something? It just seemed like an adventure.
That to me is probably the bit that I think if you could lose anything, I would lose that bit.
I know it's not overly integral to the plot.
No,
and
the
like
CGI
that,
but... wasn't particularly good.
No, maybe
in that bit. And I think the one bit that jars me on that bit is when it comes to the end of it, it's like Rose is happy, is just happy because she let a few of those horse type things free. And it's almost like she doesn't care about the rebellion or the rebels or anything. It's just she was happy that that happened. And that seemed to be a bit sort of, really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm a bit naive in some ways when I'm watching a film. I just get swept along. But this, even the second time watching it, I just thought to myself, you know what? It really isn't bothering me. People have spoken about it. I had a preconception because of what people had said. And even still watching it, I thought, it's just part of it. It's just a little romp within a story.
Yeah, I think the thing is now is that I think people shouldn't be hung up on what wasn't in the movie, because a million people could write a million different Star Wars movies for episode 8 and they could all be fantastic, but this is the movie that we've got.
Yeah, and we need to make the most of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying that as a Star Wars apologist, and I'm not saying that everybody should be happy with it. If people don't like it, it's well within their rights for people not to like it.
Yeah.
And I've got no qualms with that, but it's Star Wars. It's what they've decided it's episode 8 is going to be. So let's just love it for what it is.
Yeah, and then see how J.J. Abrams takes forward on episode 9.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be more twists in the tale. I think that's the whole way they're doing it.
That was the most interesting bit that Rian Johnson said, or the idea, well, the thing that I got from it was, and what I cannot understand, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, is that there's not been any plan for the trilogy. Now, you know, the old game you used to get, where you get a bit of paper, you get two people, and then you fold it into three. Somebody draws the head, passes it on to somebody else. Somebody draws the body, passes it on to somebody else, and then somebody draws the legs. You open it up, and you've got this weird creature. That's what this trilogy is like. JJ started with the head, passed the piece of paper on to Rian Johnson. Without Rian Johnson, all he's been able to see is a little bit of the neck,
yeah,
and has then done the body. Now he is now passing it on to it feels to me it's like he didn't like Snoke, so he got rid of Snoke.
But also, why does everything have to be something?
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they have to be something, but it seems to me like we don't like Rian Johnson made the decision. We don't need to know who Rey's parents are. Now JJ may have set up in his mind what an interesting thing that who is Rey's parents.
But the way it's done, it can be played like you said. It could be Kylo Ren dismissing who her parents are to put her down.
Right.
You could change that.
But at the moment there is no plan, and same as Rian Johnson might have looked at Snoke and thought, well, there's nothing we can actually do here with this character. I'm just going to kill him. So the idea of who he is and where he comes from means nothing to Rian Johnson.
But watching it, I'm going to make a little comment. It's something I thought about after the second viewing is, Snoke's not the interesting character there.
No.
Ben is, you know, Kylo Ren is the interesting character. You know, he's torn. He can be the big baddie, and he's proven himself to be that.
And he was also saying that the sort of Emperor Darth Vader dynamic, he said, is now gone. So that is something that's a little bit different. And maybe it's also a challenge for a director and a storyteller to do it this way. So instead of everything being planned and you know exactly where it's going to be, it is almost like a game of tennis that JJ knocked the ball over the net to Rian, and now Rian had to struggle and he's knocked it back now. And it's like, literally, the ball is in your court now, JJ. It's up to you to figure out everything that I've set up.
He came out and said he loves it, didn't he?
Absolutely. So, I mean, but he's going to.
Oh, he's going to. But the way he spoke,
he's not going to turn around and go, oh, that was a pile of shit.
It's not what I would have done.
Yeah.
But what I mean is, you can sometimes tell when something's forced and just say, yeah, I love it, and moving on. He seemed quite passionate that he really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He likes the way it's taken it in a totally different direction. And I think that's what people don't like. When you speak to a lot of Star Wars fans, and I'm not criticising for this, their whole Star Wars universe is very insular. It's very small. Everything's got to be linked to everything.
But then I think that's what people are expecting.
Mm.
And now that Rian Johnson has expanded the universe,
which you need it to be expanded, don't you?
It needs to be. But I think that also makes his trilogy that he's going to have even more interesting because it could, same as Episode 9, can literally be anything. There isn't anything that you could sort of think. It was interesting what Kevin Smith said. I don't know if you read about what Kevin Smith said. He said that, obviously, Han died in Episode 7. Luke died in Episode 8. He thinks that the thing that's going to go in Episode 9 is the Millennium Falcon. He thinks that that is going to die. That's going
with
to...
them all on it.
Well, not necessarily like with
Chewie and the droids.
No, not with them all on it.
Christ, but, imagine seeing that come plummeting down. That's going to be a heart-wrench, isn't it?
That would be more than Han, I think.
Yeah.
But that's going to be...
I don't know.
Because then that would mean... And say, especially if Chewie was on board, that's all of the old guard, apart from C-3PO and R2-D2, gone.
Kamikaze Chewie. He takes them out.
Maybe he does that as a final act of bravery.
Yeah, well, he's going to be after Ben, isn't he? Because... it was Kevin Smith that actually said about Kylo Ren, and obviously, let's call him Ben in this instant. Chewie would have watched Ben grow up.
Yeah.
He'd have been friends with him. He would have played with him.
Yeah.
And in Force Awakens, to see what he did to Han.
Did you not see that meme that came out? It was somebody drew it.
Animated bit?
Well, somebody drew it. Yeah,
it was really moving, wasn't it?
That was the reason that he shot Kylo Ren in sort of the side rather than killing him.
Yeah. No, I did see that. That was the drawing. That was really moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that struck me yesterday, actually, because that final scene when Luke is a... What would you call it? Is he a... He's not an apparition of himself, is he? But he's
like a projection.
A projection of himself. And then even in the flashbacks where Ben and also Luke give their version of what happened...
He looks evil, doesn't he?
Yeah, but why has he got brown hair?
Because he's always a man of colourblind.
No, but I know.
It looked dark. Yeah.
He's got brown hair and a brown beard, whereas in the original trilogy, it was a sandy, it's sort of like your colour hair. It's like a sandy, sort of like a
sandy blonde.
Sandy blonde colour. I didn't understand why he had dark brown hair.
No, I don't know that. Maybe there is a reason. I don't know. But he looked evil in some of it, didn't he?
I think that was the Kylo Ren version of, or the Ben Solo version of.
Luke.
What happened showed Luke as this deranged madman, wasn't it? But what's your favorite? Is your favorite bit of the movie always been the same, or have you changed your mind? Or
it's hard to isolate one. I still really enjoy that end scene with the AT-ATs, the whole takeout, because you genuinely have a fear of how are they going to get out of this, and. Maybe I'm naive, even though Luke walked out. I didn't know that was a projection. Not the first time.
No.
I thought, oh, here we go. We're going to have
battle. Especially with the fact that he gives Leia the dice.
Yeah.
He kisses her on the head. I mean, again, somebody on one of the YouTube videos I watched cleverly said that if you look at it, Leia then knows that he's an apparition. And she, when he kisses her on the head, she's the only one that knows with the way she reacts that she's the only one that knows that he's not actually there.
Which honestly, I thought was a nice, that is an interesting thought, isn't it?
A nice little touch.
Yeah. Other bits. So I did enjoy the end bit. It gave a bit of a fanboy moment. Also, the throne room bit where Snoke is killed.
That is the bit that is now my favourite scene.
You know, I think it's a brave move to take Snoke out like that. I'm not overly bothered with it.
Yeah.
I'm really not that he's just gone. Would have been quite... I would have been just as interested. I would have been interested to find out if he was somebody and everything like that. Of course I would. But I'm not that bothered now he's gone. But that whole scene between Rey and Kylo and all of that, that's probably my ultimate... That's the favourite bit of the movie. Again, it might change when I watch it again. I'm probably not going to watch it again now until it comes out on Blu-ray.
Well, I will recommend to our listeners and viewers that if anybody hasn't listened to the Empire Last Jedi spoiler special, at least listen to the Ryan Johnson 25 minutes, because it's packed full of stuff that if you've got questions about certain scenes, it makes you think about those scenes in a different way. I mean, like, we've always said that when Leia gets sucked out into space, that was a perfect chance for her to die, or even if she took over the place of Holdo and shot the ship into the main ship using hyperspace. But then, like Ryan Johnson said, that if they'd have done that, and they thought about doing things like that, but if they'd done that, we wouldn't have had that moment with Luke and Leia meeting. That moment, which to me is the most, that's the emotional bit of the movie.
Yeah, that is.
Actually. Is when they're together, especially because now with the fact that Carrie Fisher has passed, it's a beautiful, beautiful scene. And you sort of think, yeah, would I rather have had that scene and her? I mean, obviously it caused a crap load of trouble for J.J. Abrams in the next episode, in how they deal with Carrie Fisher's death, how they deal with Princess Leia. I don't want to see her, like, die off screen.
We don't want to see her like Rogue One.
No, because it'd be a complete disservice if in the crawl, you know, 5 years have passed and Leia has died, and it would be such a disservice to the character.
Mm.
But I don't know how they're going to get away with it. I don't know.
They must have some idea.
Unless they've got scenes that have been cut that they can use, that they, I don't know, maybe they age her a little bit more. She jumps on a ship and then the ship gets blown up.
Do you have? I have faith in what they're going to do.
Oh, I do. I do. You know, what? I've been thinking over the last couple of days what there could be. And because they seem to be turning this whole Jedi and Sith thing on its head, it's got to be something grand. It's got to be something big. And I'm wondering whether or not they have some kind of big not necessarily Jedi versus Sith, but a Rey versus Kylo Ren. Because the Knights of Ren have got to come back.
Well, we need to know what they are and who they are.
So if Ben on one side starts getting a load of Knights of Ren together, Rey comes and finds a load of Force friendly people that can use lightsabers, and then there is a massive battle, like the battle should have been in not Revenge of the Sith, in Attack of the Clones,
yeah,
something like that, with the two of them, one on either side, almost like a Braveheart. I mean, I remember there was that footage that somebody did in that fake Attack of the Clones, wasn't it? And it was Braveheart.
Yeah, that's it.
Something like that. Maybe, because I'm trying to, it's got to be something big.
Well, I think that, and JJ's the man to bring something huge to the screen, I think. I think they're going to go all out.
I think so. But
I really do.
One thing that they always say about JJ is that he doesn't know how to finish things, does he? He doesn't know how to finish stuff, but
depends who he's, I can't remember who's got on board for the script writing duties, because they got rid of that English guy, haven't they?
Yeah,
he's going to do it with Colin Trevorrow.
I can't remember his name now, but
I don't know. It's such a sort of minefield to go out there, isn't it? And try and think what it will be, what it's going to be. It's especially after what we've now seen, what they've done in last year. It's like you said, it's just complete open canvas for J.J. Abrams, and that's the way they're going to do it. What was your favourite? Is your favourite bit the throne room as well?
It is now. It was the Luke bit at the end, but the more I think about it, I think it's very, very well written. It's got twists and turns at every moment. It's got iconic looking moments. The set, I think, is beautiful with that deep red. I think there isn't actually, because that's the one thing in this movie, I think we've said before, there isn't a lightsaber fight in this movie. Two lightsabers don't touch in the whole of this movie.
Yeah, there's not, is there?
Even when you've got Luke and Kylo Ren at the end, they don't actually touch lightsabers. So, considering there isn't a lightsaber fight in, I mean, that is one of the best fights and the best use of a lightsaber, when Kylo Ren, when she chucks him that one and he just turns it on and turns it off with the guy in behind him, straight through the head. It's a really, really good scene. And I think that the whole part of that scene, because there are moments when you think that Ben's going to turn, and then there's moments when you think, well, it's quite feasible now that Rey's going to turn. And then when they're both doing the Force thing with Luke's lightsaber in the middle, It's a great scene.
It's a great scene. Just another quick question to you, Rian Johnson. Then, are you happy with what he did?
I am, and I'm looking forward to his
trilogy.
What his trilogy is going
to
be?
Because he is, and all said and done, the guy isn't going to go out there to shit, basically, on the franchise.
No.
Because he's admitted all along he is a Star Wars fan. He's a Star Wars nerd. He loves the Star Wars universe.
And the thing about it is that you could tell that it was a film that was directed by a director, if that makes sense. There are shots in the movie that if it had been George Lucas or just a director for hire kind of thing, not which I know that Rian Johnson is a director for hire, but he's an auteur, is that the right
word? Yeah, he's an artistic director.
Yeah, I mean, that scene near the start when it's Rose's sister and it sort of pans and it's just like her eye with like the bombs behind.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful shot, but it's something that I wouldn't expect to see in a Star Wars film.
No, he's changed the style a little bit, you know, as in the vision.
Yeah.
He's changed the vision a little bit of what we were probably used to.
But we're
so used to those Lucas swipe edits.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and it's quite lazy filmmaking, Lucas, really.
But then
he was an auteur in his own way, wasn't he? I mean, he's an independent filmmaker that came up with all of this.
If you see a wipe or anything like that, now the first thing you think of is Star Wars.
Exactly.
So it's he created that kind of look of a movie. And that kind of editing. So you can't shit on him that much for that.
But saying
he's lazy, that's a bit...
Am I too harsh?
I think so.
All right, I'll take the lazy back. It's just basic filmmaking then.
Okay. I think that's quite...
No, I don't mean it in a harsh way. Directing, right? Because I think he had the vision and he's got the vision and he brought everything to the forefront. You know, your CGI, your special effects. The story, in a sense, is all part of him. I just don't think he's a director.
Right.
And I'm not meaning that in any horrible way. I really don't think he's a director. Especially if you think, if you go his New Hope, which is a great movie and I absolutely love it, and it's probably my second favourite Star Wars movie still, and compare it to The Empire Strikes Back, which is my favourite, two different directors, that's the difference, what a different director would bring.
Mm.
But fair play to Rian Johnson. I think he's done a grand job.
Yeah.
And I think you can tell when you watch the film that it was made by somebody with a love of the Star Wars universe and wanted to keep it fresh and moving.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, there we go.
Absolutely. I've got one little bit I wanted to talk to you. I know we're overrunning a little bit than what we normally do. Han Solo synopsis.
Yeah.
Anything in there that you didn't expect?
No.
It certainly didn't for me. It's confirmed Chewie's in it.
It had all the keywords, didn't it? Chewbacca, Millennium Falcon, Lando Calrissian. It's just give us the goddamn trailer.
It's what makes me laugh. And Lando Calrissian is in it. And we're thinking, yeah, we knew that when he was cast last year or whenever.
Just give us the goddamn trailer. That's what's worrying me. It's not even the fact that we haven't had a trailer.
Mm.
We haven't had an official picture of Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo yet.
We've had nothing, have we? Let's
We've had absolutely nothing.
Bar the title card.
Yeah. And it's very, very strange.
So, yeah,
whether or not they are so confident that they think we don't need to do any publicity for this, or there are some like Disney Lucasfilm bigwigs shitting through an eye of a needle in an office somewhere going, oh my God, you heard what they did about Last Jedi. What are they going to say about this?
Or do you think they're waiting for the furore of The Last Jedi to finally
die
down?
Well, I mean, it has died down now, hasn't it? I mean, it's finishing its run. It's had a great run. It didn't make the 1.6 billion that everyone predicted. I think it's going to probably top out around 1.3. Which is fantastic.
I mean, that's not... It's put the film's over 9 billion, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
but at the same time, when you look at it, they're saying... Was it 2.1? Force Awakens took 2.1 billion.
Yeah, but it was also 40 minutes shorter or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
half an hour shorter.
I think
it's a difference.
I think they're going to be happy if every Star Wars movie that they release takes a billion. I don't think Han Solo...
No, I think we're looking at a 600 to 700
is going
million,
to. Yeah. It's just it's the one movie that I've worried about.
And what did you just did you see? I'm going to give the Nerdist little videos a bit of a shout out. Did you see their thin conspiracy or thin theory that Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to appear in it?
What, in the Han Solo
movie? Have a little look. I won't say too much, but there's quite an interesting little theory that the Nerdist have come up with, that why they think it is all to do with Ewan McGregor, because obviously he's in training now. He's got the Obi-Wan beard.
Yeah, I call that. Oh,
yeah,
I'm keeping you up.
You're chewy, yeah. And it goes through it, and it's, you think, after listening to it, you think, actually, that makes sense.
Okay.
Have a little look.
Well, there you go. That's episode 61.
If you have any comments or have any thoughts on The Last Jedi, we are going to sort of draw a line under it. But please do comment on our feed here down below. And when you do leave a comment, remember to press the like button.
And come and subscribe to the podcast. That's No Moon, It's a Podcast. You'll get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, I think we're on now as well. But come and subscribe, leave a review, and leave us a rating. That would be fantastic. It means that everybody else maybe can come and jump in the cockpit with us.
Oh, that's a nice theory, a nice thought.
Only there's only like room for like five people in the cockpit.
That's absolutely fine.
And there's no dice there now. Either.
We can get some fluffy ones.
Let's get some fluffy ones. So that's it for this week. It's... let's hope next week we're talking about a trailer.
Well, that's what we really need to be doing, because it'll be becoming the same conversations. What if, what off, and we don't want to keep boring you on that.
No.
We want something fresh. So come on, Lucasfilm, bring on the trailer.
Indeed. So thank you very much, Neil.
Thank you very much, Pat.
Thank you very much, everybody. That's it for episode 61. May the Force be with you.
Always.
I say the all.
Oh, bollocks.